Hey guys, it's me, Alex, from the Alex Cast. I don't think I've ever mentioned on John and Alex Hate Stuff that I do another podcast, and it exists, and it has for almost 9 years, so I'm going to mention it to you. So if you want to hear me say stuff about, I don't know, the occult or weird esoteric things or dumb dick jokes, or it's named after me, so I mean, don't listen to it. But now you know it exists, alexcast.com, Alex with two X's. Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
You know what I hate?
What's that?
That we can't just talk about Mandy again.
Yeah, no, we had to move on.
Yeah, so we watched The Conjuring.
The Conjuring.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was rough, but I got squared away. When chains started ringing and bells ringing loud, I knew I'd moved in a haunted house.
Let me just briefly sum up my experience with this movie. Fuck you. Fuck everybody that liked this movie. It's everything I hate about horror movies. It is just jump scares. It is musical cues that make you feel uncomfortable. Nothing is deserved in this. Maybe not nothing. There's a few scenes I actually enjoyed. But boy, did I not enjoy the experience of watching The Conjuring in the fucking slightest. I want everybody that told me this movie was good to line up and apologize. And I mean in deepest Shakespearean tones, apologize. I want these and thous, motherfucker.
Yeah, I was not a fan of this either. I was bored through most of it. It's a haunted house movie, but I feel like when they approached James Wan to make this, he went, haunted house. Oh, like the rides at the fair. That's it. Like that's what he's interested in, is that sort of carnival experience, not any kind of traditional haunted house story.
I can't tell you how much I hate jump scares. And the whole front end of this movie was jump scares. That was the whole thing. It's just, it's slow, jump scare. It's slow, jump scare. And that's not earned. That's not cool. It's not good storytelling or good movie making. Fuck you.
I think there are ways to do a jump scare. I think there are effective jump scares. If that's not all you're doing, but I think that is all this movie is doing. I don't think there's much terrifying beyond that.
All right. Let me brief overview. I hated it until the Warrens and the Parents, when they get together. When the Warrens actually roll into the house, I actually kind of liked the movie.
Well,
not liked, but it picked up for me. It actually felt like a cohesive film for a little bit.
Well, that might make a little bit better of a movie, because part of my problem with the whole thing is that there's way too much. There's way too much of everything. There's too many characters. There's too many, like, who are we caring about here? Why are we following the Warrens and the Parents? Like, this movie should be the Parents. And then they call in these people. Not this huge thing at the beginning with the Warrens. Or it's just the Warrens, and then they go do this.
Yeah.
I feel like it was really split. And neither side was very fleshed out as characters. They try to a little bit with the Warrens, but not really. That it wasn't worth anything. And anything to do with that Annabelle doll, why was that in there at all?
Well, because it was creepy as fuck.
Disagree.
Really?
So
I hate a doll.
I hate a doll thing, but like, particularly the doll is so done up to look evil that it's, you know, okay, yeah, look at that. You know, Chucky, in like the first one, he's supposed to be this, you know, nice looking doll.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a decent fella, but turns out he murders. Whereas this one, you know right from the start that Annabelle is bad, which is how the movie opens, with a story of these two nurses and one guy. There's a guy sitting on the couch with them. Why? Don't know, because this movie has too many characters.
Yeah.
This is a problem throughout.
Actually, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah. Well, I'll get into the family when we get there, but they're telling a story about how there's a ghost in their apartment, and they found out it was this little girl, and they said, oh yeah, why don't you possess this doll? And then it got weird. That's the point where the movie starts to treat it like, you put it in a doll? Because normally just having a ghost of a child around is fine. That's not a big deal. And so you get this little intro with them and experiencing this horror, I guess, with Annabelle telling the Warrens. Or as I kept thinking of them in the movie, Ned and Maude Flanders.
The Warrens?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they're based on real people. I don't know if you want to talk about them at all.
I think the problem with this movie, especially, so the beginning, is all these characters are based on real life people.
Yeah.
And I'm putting some heavy fucking quote fingers here. So there was apparently a story of an Annabelle doll. I don't know if it actually was Annabelle, but the point is, I think these little, the reason that there's 19 kids in that fucking house, and that there's Ed and Lorraine and her kid, and then the cop, and then the weird Asian guy. And the reason that there's so many characters is because they're trying to base it on real events. And that's problematic.
Yeah.
Because there's a fuckload of characters and there's no one to care about. And hanging it on real events is kind of, it's a risky endeavor and sometimes it can pay off. Like the, what's the one on Long Island? We were just talking about it.
Oh, the Amityville Horror.
Amityville Horror. Yeah. Fine movie, based on, in quotes, real events. Worked out well because they're following one family. It's succinct. It's kind of the point of a haunted house thing. You're stuck in the house, but this has got multiple scenes. Like there's a full lecture hall. There's a different apartment with Annabelle. There's so much to kind of care about that you can't care about anything other than, I guess I was a little invested in the little girl that found the music box. That's about the only character I was like, oh, I care about you a little bit.
Yeah, because they spend a little bit of time with her. Everyone else, they kind of just, like, they give the oldest daughter some kind of personality, only in the sense that she's angry at her mom. You get these little, like, teenager asides of, like, just, her bitching about how cold it is or how lame her parents are.
Well, I think that's a first in movies, so I want to at least give them credit for that. Having like an angsty teen that doesn't want to live.
That's
in
true.
A place.
Yeah, you don't see that too much.
Which is nice. They're really breaking down new doors.
But I feel like they, you could be like, hey, this is based on real events and have all these things happen. But it felt like they're like, well, someone on Reddit is going to go, actually, there were 5 children instead of 3. This movie's bullshit. And we got to worry about that guy.
Well, also, I hate horror movies. So, like, it's scaring me, and I don't have the ability to judge how good it is. Because, one, I don't watch enough horror to be, with any way, to be able to judge it as a film. And then the horror sequences, I'm kind of watching through my fingers, because I live in a creepy old mansion. Creepy old house, and it's creepy down here. And
no,
and
it's exactly the house from The Seventh Guest.
Well, you with your fancy movies that I haven't seen.
It's a CD-ROM game.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. No, I don't know that.
Well, another thing that beyond just the sheer number of characters and trying to be so real with it, is the opening. Like I said, so there's this story about Annabelle, and then it cuts to, like, that the story you're seeing with the nurses, that's actually them giving a lecture about it, about, like, all the paranormal stuff they deal with, and kind of introducing themselves. He's a demonologist. She's a clairvoyant, apparently. This is Ned and Maud Flanders. He's the only demonologist recognized by the Catholic Church. And then, so you get this information dump about them. And then, like, freeze frame, text comes on the screen telling you all about these people and how they're about to experience something they've never experienced before. This is based on a true story. Movie. Thank you. I've got it.
Yeah.
You know, like, just tell the story, man.
Yeah, I question that. I don't want to spend too much on this beginning part, but I question, why did they even bother with that Annabelle thing? Like, what is that setting up for the later movie?
Well, see, that's the thing. Was this always done with a plan to, like, the Avengers, to build a Conjureverse where there's going to be these Annabelle movies and stuff like that? Because if so, I'm even more irritated because that's really cynical and crappy because it didn't belong in the movie. It provided this stupid set piece later that absolutely didn't need to happen. And that's the only thing I can assume is that, like, well, we're either doing this as a separate movie or we're setting up that we're going to have to deal with Annabelle in the future or something. I don't know. Again, this movie goes in a bunch of different directions.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably Was this a money, like, was there money behind this?
James Wan has had decent success making movies like Insidious and famously the Saw movie.
Oh, wait, that's him?
That's him.
Oh, okay. I actually didn't mind the first Saw.
See, I did. For some of the same problems I had with this I guess I'll just get into it now. I hate, and I'm going to blame him. I don't know if he's worked with the same cinematographer in both. I hate his camera moves. Just stop moving the camera for 5 damn seconds.
Oh, that fucking flip over thing was making me.
Well, there's so much of that, like, where he's interested in making things slick and look cool rather than whether or not it's motivated.
Yeah.
Classic example in Saw. And this was the thing that made me want to see the movie. Is in the, you saw in the trailer when the person has the weird mask thing on their head. They're like, look, that thing's going to tear your face off. There's a key, but it's inside this guy's belly and you're going to have to cut it open. And rather than have the horror of that play out, the camera whips around her as she freaks out. And it's like spinning around her and all that. It's just so, like, over the top MTV style. Where I'm like, well, you've just drained any tension from that scene. In trying to add more and trying to make it crazy, you ruined it. And I think so often in this, there's so much shaky cam stuff that's completely unmotivated and not necessary that was taking me out of it. And yeah, certain showy elements that, like, when the little girl is looking upside down under the bed and the camera, like, flips up with her as she looks up, that was just a thing to go like, look at this.
Yeah.
Rather than letting me be in the moment.
Yeah, they also did that later in the film when they're running down into the basement back and forth. They keep, as they get through the basement level, flipping the camera as if, oh, well, now we're entering into the demon world. And I think it's, I get the kind of metaphor of the move.
Yeah.
But it makes you ill to watch. And also, all it does is go, oh, I'm watching a movie instead of being in that moment.
Yeah, and by that point, I am so beaten down by all the other camera moves that you've done. If you had saved this to now, like if things went really crazy now, fair enough. Like I'd have much more patience for that than the whole time the camera's always moving and it's does not need to, in my opinion. And some of that's stylistic, like my own choice, but I think a lot of times, like you said, it just reminds you you're watching a movie.
Yeah, and they did that Evil Dead camera move a couple of times, which to me, and I don't know if this is a fair thing to say, but I think, you know, you don't make a movie in a vacuum. You have to be aware, especially in a horror. Doing that Evil Dead move is silly. That was cool when it came out, but those are now intrinsically linked to silly horror movies, you know, comedy horror. So doing it in this movie that is ostensibly humorless, I mean, I can't think of any even attempts at anything remotely lighthearted in the film other than, you know, the tag sequence, which was also kind of would be scary in a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like them blindfolding themselves and doing the clap tag.
Yeah, hide and clap.
Boy, that could actually be a really drama building. But like in this movie, it's just like, ah, great, you're building drama. Like it was just kind of, because they're so heavy handed with everything else that it kind of takes. Because I thought like in my head, in a better movie, it's like, oh, what if there's claps that come from somewhere else that isn't where the kid is? That could be really creepy, but we've already, you know, we've already met 18 characters at this point. The house is already established without the shed of the shadow of a doubt that it's haunted. I mean, there's we don't have the chance to think, oh, it's like, I did like that spot where the Warrens were investigating and they're like, oh yeah, this pipe's dropping on the wood here and it's making a creaking sound. It's
They're investigating the other house.
Yeah. And they just, I actually thought that was a cool sequence again in a better movie where it's like, oh, they actually just debunked the shit out of that really quickly. Like these guys are good at their job in a skeptical way almost.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then it went back to in the Perrone house where it's just like, I'll swallow your soul. Your mother sucks cock in hell. Like, and that's in the first act. We're just like, the cool thing about like The Exorcist was they waited to like, the third act to really get her face all weird and throwing up shit, you know, and spider walking.
Well, so that's the other thing with the Warrens is that, so they do show them experiencing skepticism. And like when they talk to the Annabelle people, they're like, well, Annabelle's not really a ghost. She's actually a demon. And we got to get rid of this for you. And then you get to, not too long after the credits, you get another scene in the Warren's home where some reporter is coming to talk to them.
We didn't need that.
Yeah, they have Annabelle at home. He has this whole room of cursed objects that have either been like used in, they're possessed by something, used in something. You know, you want to keep those in a room by where your child sleeps. That's the thing that makes total sense. And I guess it's the thing they actually have, I guess, their museum. And they don't destroy him because that just destroys the vessel. Bury that stuff. Like, seal it up and bury it.
Well, I mean, here's what we did learn in this movie is that it can move by itself, so it would just show up somewhere else. Because that kid's Rory, one of the ghosts in the house, his music box was transported from inside of the house into a tree where the youngest Brady child, Cindy, found it. Which also, maybe that is the real child's name was Cindy in the real world. But, a group of kids in the 70s and the youngest one named Cindy.
The most likely time you're going to have it.
But
you
know, also,
same way you got kids now named Daenerys.
But, you know, they were watching the Brady Bunch in this movie. They showed them watching the Brady Bunch.
How do you think they got the idea for the kid's name?
Oh, that's so stupid. Sorry. It's such a small thing, but it annoyed the shit out of me. It was just like, you have to be aware of these things. Yeah. And that is just such an unaware naming.
Well, yeah, the whole thing just about them keeping their trophies, I just thought was so bizarre. Because, like, well, we have a priest come over and bless it once a month, which I took issue with a lot of the spirituality in this movie.
Yeah.
Not as, you know, like, I'm not an atheist or anything like that, like a Bill Maher style atheist. But it was just this weird, like, it was just sort of accepted that this is the right thing. It wasn't like, again, like The Exorcist is, this guy's struggling with his faith. But even in this is also like, well, we have to go with the bureaucracy of the church as well. Not just that the divinity of Christ, it's that, like, no, specifically the Catholic Church and like their whole thing works. And I'm reading way too into it, but some of that just was weird to me. And I know that's a part of the Warrens' real life thing.
But. No, but we didn't spend enough time with it to make it worthwhile. So it either we should have spent more time with that or not mention it at all.
Yeah.
The same thing with when Ed asks Office Space, are your kids baptized? He's like, no, I never found time for it. Okay, fine. But then go get them baptized. Just hop in the fucking car and throw some fucking holy water in their head. It's not, this isn't a difficult thing to accomplish. Well, so why bring it up if it goes nowhere? Like, it's just like, oh, you mean they're really susceptible demons, like one that lives in your house? Well, guess there's nothing we can do about that, except you're on the East Coast. There's a Catholic church every 2 miles. Just drive. They're like Starbucks out there. Just drive there. I think you have to let one get fiddled. Then you get the third baptism free. And that's it. Wipe your hands.
Well, he goes like, hey, well, you know, you might want to do something about that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Get yourself a Dodge and get her some holy water on her head.
Yeah, which I normally like that actor, but I did not enjoy him in this. He was really, his accent was coming through a lot.
His accent the mother's accent, the Perone mother.
Lily Taylor?
Yeah, because she's got an American accent through most of the movie.
She is American.
Oh, really? Because she's got some weird, like, when she screams.
She's all, like, East Coasty.
Really? Oh, I don't know what accent came out, but, like, it wasn't the accent she was speaking with a few times. Like, just, she sounded completely different.
She's possessed.
No. I mean, this is even before she got possessed, which I did like the way she got possessed, where it's, like, the demon stuck its tongue down her throat.
Oh, it, like, vomited something
out of her mouth. That was super gross, which, again, I'm trying to find things I like about this movie, because, one, it's just... This was essentially made for me to dislike. So I'm searching for parts I liked. I'm like, oh, that was cool. Because normally you'd see it as like, oh, it jumps in her, you know, and see it like, right. You know, but it's, no, it actually vomits evil down your throat. It's kind of cool.
Well, I had just seen Prince of Darkness, John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
And part of that whole movie is that, like, basically the devil is a liquid that's been kept in the basement of this church for years. And it would shoot jets into people's mouths. And people would do that. So I don't want to be like, oh, how derivative, but it did make me think of that. And a lot of this movie is sort of pieced together from other movies.
Well, I just, if I can just stop you right here and say the most Alex thing that's ever been said, that whole Satan being a dark goo thing, it goes before Prince of Darkness. This is an old theory of the black goo. X-Files actually stole this and called it aliens, but it's a Saturnian myth that Saturn, this evil god, is this black goo that lives underground and can infest people. I'm just saying they stole from the same person that John Carpenter stole from, but not nearly as eloquently. Because that's not the word I wanted to use, but I said it anyway.
But the goo was actually the son of the big Satan who lived in this dark dimension.
Oh, well, then it's 100% different.
It's totally different.
My bad.
But, I mean, so...
I wonder how the ghosts of Mars react to it.
So that was a cool scene, though. I mean, derivative or not, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. It was still cool how they did it.
Yeah.
And I like that. Yeah, there were a couple of moments where they actually, when they actually let what was happening happen, like when the little girl thinks she sees something behind the door.
That was the scene I was about to point out. That scene
was very well done because it wasn't all showy. It wasn't. And when the scare happens, it's more earned. Yeah. And it's more like, oh my God, what's going on? Whereas so much of it, the scares are impactless. They're there to go, but nothing really is at stake. You're not, no one is in any real danger. And I know you don't have to have immediately everyone being dead right at, you know, getting attacked right at the beginning. But there was so much of just like, ha, and then we move on.
Yeah, all right.
And
so let me enforce your point here. The scene where the paintings, or sorry, the pictures start falling from the wall and you're giggling. Why is she she's not in her slippers. She could be near them, and then her feet get bloodied by the glass. It is such a small change, but now you've actually heightened the situation where, like Die Hard style, there's glass, you're in your bare feet, you could be scared by the giggling instead of thinking someone's in your house, but now you have to walk around with bare feet, blood goes everywhere. We've now entered a situation where I could actually give a shit about this. No, she stands on the balustrade and goes, oh, look, our pictures are falling.
Yeah,
and
there's glass. Fix that.
Yeah, there's glass on the stairs. Like, it's a good thing I got these slippers on. There's literally no danger. It's a small change, but why bother setting up this thing? Like, let's lovingly show the glass on the ground and then just, that's it. Maybe I just seen Die Hard too many times, but.
Right. You wish every movie was Die Hard.
But I mean, in this case, yes. Like, holy crap, would I rather watch Die Hard than this piece of shit?
But it's also.
It's not a piece of shit. It's just not good.
I think it's terrible. And.
See, I have such a hard time figuring that out because I don't like this kind of horror movie. So it's like, I can't tell if it's good or not.
Yeah, no, like, see, I mean, I'm not like a huge, I've been watching a ton of horror movies lately, but I'm not like the biggest horror head. And I don't think horror, I think horror can be a bunch of different things. It can be totally fun. It can be silly. It can be more campy. It can
those
be
are the
serious.
Ones I grew up on. Like, I love like Friday the 13th and that kind
of
shit.
Yeah,
like,
there is some of that stuff where it is just mindless and whatever, but I feel like this movie wants to not be that, though. This movie wants to be, and really the kind of movie that is a haunted house movie, I think lends itself to be more of a deeper thing. Like, there are so many potential things there. Like, so the whole idea is that this Bathsheba, I believe was
Bathsheba,
the name of the, that was the name of the evil ghost, ends up attacking Lily Taylor's character because that's how they wear you down psychologically. And then that's how they kind of get into you and physically. That didn't happen. That would have been an interesting story of her kind of like losing, you know, losing control, losing her mind a little bit, not sure what's real, what's not. Or, I mean, it's been done before. It's not new, but this was just, oh, this is family and some stuff's happening and that's bad. Oh, now I got the mom specifically.
Yeah.
Okay. What was all that other stuff about then? Why was it pulling the kids around? Like, I guess to affect the mom? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that was the other scene I did really like was the girl just kind of jerking her foot and saying, stop touching my foot and yelling at her sister. Cause that, to me, that's primal fear right there. That's why you can't sleep with your feet over the edge of your bed. Cause something's going to grab them. I found that very effective.
Yeah. It's much the same way that anytime anyone gets a paper cut in a movie, you're like, ooh, I know what that feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, I can, yeah. But then, you know, the next thing it's, oh, there's somebody hanging from the ceiling with a demon face. Like, I mean, that scared me in that it happened really fast and you made a loud noise, but it's not like, that's not scary. That's just some dumb shit happening in the house. And
well, that was a point too, is I think, you know, you're talking about some of the music cues designed to make you uncomfortable. There were some that felt very off for me where they discover when they're searching the house, the kids are playing hide and seek, hide and clap, where they put the blindfold on. And I guess I've never heard of this game before.
Neither have I.
One person puts a blindfold on and the other, whoever else is playing goes and hides. And you, the person searching, gets three claps. You get a call for three claps. And then based on sort of echolocution, you figure out where the people are hiding. Well, they're playing this game and they reveal someone stumbles or something and they reveal that this boarded up room that had been boarded up and it's the basement. That ends up basically being where the evil is stemming from.
Yeah.
One of the places.
I did like, here's a music cue I enjoyed where, so they go into the basement to explore and the mother goes down and plays like three little keys on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Later when the haunting stuff starts happening, you hear from the basement, the ghost or whatever plays the same three keys in the same motion as she did. Small thing, but I'm like, oh, that would creep me the fuck out. Like, that was so much more effective than, there's a dead lady in the tree, which is like, that was startling because you just showed a dead person in my face really quickly, made a loud noise, but that's not scary. Like, three tones for the basement. That's fucking freaky.
Right. Well, that's more subtle than this movie wants to be. But it's that's my point. So when she's downstairs, I forget what the mom is doing, but she's downstairs for some reason. And then a ball just falls, like a cupboard opens and a ball falls out.
Yeah.
Ball, cupboard opens, ball, boom, boom, boom. Huge musical sting. She runs up, then a light blows out. And that was like, why? Wait, what? Like, that was the setup. The ball bouncing was the setup. Why are you giving me a sting there?
Yeah.
When it should be when the light goes out. You know what I mean? So there was weird stuff like that where it was like these jump scares that happened at weird times.
We're setting up, they move into this house. We don't really need to go step by step. Mm-hmm. The dog, Sadie, doesn't want to go in the house. And then, so the dog is killed by the ghost, apparently.
Apparently,
the demon. Later in the film, not that much later, when the Warrens show up, they say, oh, well, no, it hasn't been violent yet. It hasn't tried to hurt you, so that's a good sign. The first thing we saw was the dog get murdered by a demon. How was that? Again, why do that scene to then not pay it off or mention it later? Just don't do the dog dying scene.
Right.
Or say, oh yeah, Ed, the first thing that happened here is my dog died under mysterious circumstances. They go, oh shit, this is bad. Now, that would screw up the pacing, so just don't do the dog thing. Just, why break glass why take the time to put on slippers when you're going to break glass? Just, have some fucking tension, movie, instead of it, you just, there's a thing!
Yeah, well, and that was, there were too many false ones of those, too. There were, like, something's going on in the house, dad's looking around, it's very early on in the film. Dad's looking around, and then, like, oh, there's a figure on the stairs, like, the camera pans up, and oh, it's his daughter. So it's like this false scare there.
And oh,
like,
yeah. When they reveal she sleepwalks, the other one sleepwalks.
Yeah, and then almost immediately following that is the fake jump scare where the little girl has the music box. And she's like, if you look in the music box, you'll see the kid appear behind you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's all setting it up. And then, nope, the little kid just jumps and scares her. And I mean, eventually, yes, you do see the kid behind you. So eventually, yeah, things start happening. The mom starts getting bruises on her she goes to get checked out. They tell her it's an iron deficiency.
It's the painting's falling from the wall, followed by the kids start screaming and a door slams in one of their face when there's no one there to slam it in their face.
Right.
That's when the dad comes home, when Office Space rolls back in from his big rig. You know, Big Trouble in Little China style, yes, which he did look very Jack Burton-y. I don't know if you thought about that.
No, but that's pretty great.
Yeah, it's much better now. Now the movie's great. He comes in. He's like, what the fuck's happening here? Has to knock the door down. That was like the final straw. Because then they cut back to the classroom and the mother's okay. Listening.
That's what it is. So it's the sequence where, because there's two things happening. And this was, I don't know why, but this bothered me. So the mom is investigating downstairs and the whole thing with the ball and the light goes out and then she's trapped in there basically. And so you see her banging against the door. Meanwhile, upstairs, the little girls are by the armoire. They're like investigating the armoire and the evil monster is on top of it. This horrid old woman, although according to the legend, she's not old.
Wait, really?
Yeah, she was like she had her first kid and like murdered it at like, when it was really young, sacrificed it to the devil and then killed herself.
Oh.
I didn't think, the way the movie sounded, it's like she wasn't that old, but she was all like twisted.
Yeah, I didn't put that together.
But it's on top of the armoire and it jumps off and starts attacking them. That's when dad comes home.
Yeah.
Right. That's the sequence. Then he's just like, what's going on? And immediately cuts. And then, then it's the Warrens giving another stupid presentation. So minor. But this was a weird, weird thing for me. And there's been allusions to something happening to Maude Flanders in The Exorcism. Like Ned is all very reticent to have her involved in stuff for some reason. They don't tell you why at this point. But this woman raises her hand and asks a question about like, do you ever do an exorcism? And he's like, no, I don't. But I've assisted in some. The camera spends a long time on this woman. You think that something's going to the point that like you think something's going to happen with this person or she's going to show up later or, you know, turn out to be somebody. Maybe they won a contest. I don't know. Maybe the other footage was just really bad.
Yeah.
But it was really like they spent a long time. Like both she asked, the camera lingers for a long time on her, goes to him before he finishes, lingers a long time on her.
Yeah, I bet you she had other scenes cut because there's this lady in the original Avengers, not the original, the Avengers with you know, the superhero Avengers, like from, I don't know, 8 years ago, whenever that first one came out, 10 years ago. But during the Battle of New York, you see this one diner waitress lady in like three different shots for some reason. But she had like full sequence. She had almost a subplot in the film, but that got cut out. So you can see it in the extra scenes, etc. But in the main film, for some reason, they just keep showing this one blonde lady. You're like, why the fuck is that one extra getting so much screen time? And I mentioned it was one of those kids. She was probably like the one lady in the class that was like, oh, maybe she'll be the next generation of paranormal researcher or something like that.
Well, there was in some lawsuit against them, there was this allegation. Against the Warrens in real life, there's some allegation of Ed Warren having an affair with a younger woman.
For
15 years. So.
Oh, maybe she was the one.
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't sound like a very God-fearing man. A man so God-fearing he could perform an exorcism, sorta.
Well, yeah. So the mom is at this lecture for some reason, and the camera is as they're talking about the way ghosts work, where they will break you down and then possess you. The camera's really pushing in on mom.
Yeah.
Because, boy, we don't want to be subtle in this movie. And this drove me, this is, again, a minor thing, but it drove me nuts. They're outside putting stuff in their car after the lecture. This guy, turns out later, is one of their assistants, but this guy comes up with her and is like, this lady wants to meet you. She could have just gone up there. Why is this guy there?
Well, they want to establish the very important character, Asian guy that I don't know his name.
Yeah, like it's... It's just these little things that just drove me nuts where it's just like, she could have just gone there. It's just flabby fucking storytelling.
Yeah. I did enjoy, that actress's acting during this part where she's trying to convince them to show up.
Lily Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she did a good job there where like, she does show like a really good desperation of like, I'm in trouble. Like this isn't like, I thought that was good that they showed that skepticism scene with like the leaking pipe where he goes, it's usually something else. And she's like, no, look, dude, like this is not. I thought that was a well done sequence, but again, for a better movie, like if that had been in a good movie and about 20 minutes earlier, because that's when that scene should have happened in a good movie, because this should have been like the Warren should have gotten there at I don't know, minute 25-ish, minute 30.
Right.
Should have been the Warrens arriving at the Perrone's house. That should be the movie.
Right. And the rest of them like doing the investigation, because they can't because they do some interviews or whatever, and they find out that it's likely, it sounds like, you know, shit's going down for real. We're going to need to do an exorcism, but to do that, we need to collect like hard evidence first. And it's kind of annoying because you see these other scenes of them kind of being so like skeptic of other things and kind of cool in the face of all this stuff. Their dispassion really just reads as like boring. They're like, yeah, well, you know, you got this monster there. Yeah, you know, we got this. This happens all the time. I don't really care. I have no strong feelings about this.
Yeah. And the wife, Maud Flanders, later it's revealed when she walks in. The first time I saw it was the first time I saw the girls. I saw this black figure behind you. And I saw it also here. Maybe that's something you should like
mention?
Make a little bit bigger of a deal out of. Because what you did there was just not react at all.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I guess she sort of looked uncomfortable, but not enough to have like, oh yeah, there's a spectral demon around these children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a great thing. Like, but yeah, she's like mildly uncomfortable. Why not? Yeah. Sorry. I'm getting nitpicky territory, but it's just a fundamental. Why don't you? Yeah.
But it's also like, if you're supposed to be this clairvoyant and you see things, like, way to believe in your abilities. We're like, oh, I totally did see something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm useful. Yeah, he was really hesitant to bring her along because of, like I said, something happened in an exorcism. You eventually find out that she saw something in the eyes of this guy being exorcised.
Was that it?
That was basically it. And she just went in a room for 8 days. We didn't talk. And then, well, what was it? I didn't ask. Because, yeah, that would be interesting or, like, help build you as a character.
I thought maybe I'd miss something.
Nope. He specifically says, I didn't ask.
No, not that part. I thought it meant something where she saw something, and then they flash back to the scene.
Yeah.
And they don't show the thing she saw. But in the movie, you see her seeing demons with her own face. She sees ghosts directly. Oh, no, I saw some creepy shit in some dude's eyeball. Seems.
Yeah, there wasn't anything. There was no, again, not going back to The Exorcist, where there's the priest that's not Max von Sydow has this whole, like, crisis of faith thing kind of going on. That would have been an interesting route to take, where someone who's like, I have this gift from God. My husband and I, we say that God brought us together. I looked in this guy's eyes and I saw like true evil and I knew there was no God or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just that. It's just like, no, she had a thing. And so we have this idea of a thing she needs to overcome. We're not actually going to do it. Same thing where he's like, oh, I don't actually do exorcism. And later he's like, well, I better do an exorcism.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing for him to go like, ah, boy, this is going to be hard. And really this is a danger to me. He says that the exorcisms could be dangerous. By the time he does it, it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, again, it's stakes building. It just doesn't annoyance. So here's the thing I like. So when they show up at the house, they do an interview with all of them talking about stuff, and they go back to review the tape. And, oh, weird, her voice isn't on the tape.
Yeah.
So you hear him asking questions. I'm like, that's cool. I like this. Then they play the tape again, and it's,
I'm an evil bad guy.
And it's, what the fuck? You just went from, you had a cool subtle thing where, oh, that's fucked up. Her voice doesn't show up and mine comes out perfectly, to literally Dr. Claw voice. And it's just, oh, fuck you, movie.
Well, you know what also would have been cool about that is if it was just him reviewing the tape, not, hey, I've been reviewing the tape. And when I listen, there's no voice. Listen.
Oh, yeah.
There's no voice.
Yeah, totally. Like,
thank you. Thank you for explaining what's scary to me. Thank you very much.
I think this movie has like no respect for the people that are watching it. Like they don't think we're going to understand.
Well, after this, yeah, the people that like it, they shouldn't. No, they absolutely shouldn't have any respect for those people.
So maybe this, all right. So here, I know exactly where we are in the story. Let's just take a moment to talk about why did so many people tell us this was good?
I don't know, because jump scares get people, and that's enough for some people. And that's fine. There is a space for popcorn movies that you know, popcorn scares like that. Not every movie has to be deep, but like...
But reviewers like this.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
this
it's got... Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes seems to like it. I don't know. Horror is a weird genre. It's frequently, I think, looked down upon, not necessarily always earned.
Yeah.
But so many movies that, like... When horror movies start doing really well, they're always like, here's a thing that sort of transcends the horror genre, rather than just going, no horror movies can be can be rad.
Yeah.
Like any other genre, there's stuff that can be terrible. There's stuff that can be great. And so I think people are excited at that it's not all super gory, that it's that to them, if it's not super gory, well, then it must be psychological. And it's not even really that psychological.
No, it's just, I mean, this is reminding me of any 70s horror movie. No, I mean, it's
super slick. The one, you know, for a complaint about the camera moves, the one that they do a lot, they do it too much, but I'm always a fan of, is the slow camera zoom in. Not like the super, like, slow creep, but just, like, the one I immediately think of is when the mom's, like, waving goodbye to the kids. They're going to school. It's a pointless, yeah. I don't know why it's in the scene or why it's in the movie. But the camera, like, just sort of zooms in.
Yeah.
I just like that slow 70s move. But yeah, it's because it's slick and it looks nice.
It's disappointing. I mean, really, we're bunch of like whatever year The Exorcist came out, every horror movie that came out in the next 5 years that tried to be The Exorcist, and I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know I've seen them all when I was a kid. Special effects.
Yeah. You know? Well, with Lily Taylor being in it, made me think of The Haunting, the late 90s, early 2000s remake of The Haunting.
Yeah.
Which I remember seeing in the theater and being like, I liked the sound in this. This was cool to see in the theater, but just like, yeah, I don't know, who cares? And I can't help but feel the same thing about this, where, yeah, who cares? None of this is that interesting.
Well, now I'm doubting all that. So I have a list of horror movies that everybody's been telling me to see over the years, and this has been on it since this came out.
Yeah.
And now I'm doubting if I want to see any of the others, because this was, oh, sorry, we shouldn't do our, we're already at the wrap up. Okay, so... Nothing in the recording. And it turns out that upon research, they find out that the house belonged to one of the witches that was burned during the Salem witch trials, which was also...
Well, she's a relative of one of the witches.
Oh, yeah, the relative. Yeah, but I think she got burned as well, right?
Well, no, because she...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. I missed it.
Yeah, she... Like I said, she sacrifices her child, like, and it's young. It might even be a baby.
Yeah, I think it was 7 months old, I think they said.
Yeah, and then people are going to come get her, I guess. And so she hangs her. She like climbs a tree, curses the land, says, "Hail Satan," and then hangs herself.
Well, the thing is, the curse of the land is that anybody that tries to take my land will suffer like a horrible death, and I curse thee, which is where this all starts. That's where the demon comes from. But which is weird because the demon doesn't get named. The lady is named Bathsheba,
mm-hmm.
which is a weird fucking name. I mean, I guess it's weirdo name times. So like that's probably like a normal name back then. But it's weird that you don't give the demon a name.
Zedekiah's or something.
Yeah. But like, you know, like a Zozo or like some kind of like right. demon name. Like it's just odd that because like the one of the triumphal, you know, the moment in the movie where he's like, Bathsheba, I send you back to hell or whatever the fuck. And he's like, because he used demon's name. It's like very powerful or a spirit's name. That's not the spirit's name. That's just some fucking old crazy lady that like practiced witchcraft.
Well, and then there's so much stuff that like, again, if this is actual occult stuff, it's so stupid. Like when the Warrens first get there and they notice this door is tied shut, these double doors are tied shut. And the dad's like, well, we had to do that because otherwise they would slam three times. And he's like, oh, three times? That's usually an insult to the Trinity. Really? Got him, Satan. Like, boy, you banged a thing three times.
Yeah, see,
fucking got him, Satan.
I thought that actually meant that you want me, and then it's twice on the pipe if the answer is no.
Right, yes.
Yeah. that should have been on the soundtrack.
But it's like, how stupid, like...
No, I know. And that annoyed me. Because that was also right by where Ghost Sheet happened.
Yeah. Because
Ghost Sheet was... What? Okay, it looked cool.
It was a neat effect.
But it's the dumbest thing that's ever happened in a movie ever. Literally, a ghost wore a sheet. Not since Beetlejuice has a ghost wore a sheet.
Yeah, she's outside, like the Maude Flanders is outside hanging a sheet, and the sheet like blows away onto something. Like there's a figure right there, then immediately dissipates, and the sheet flies up to the window where you see the mom standing there. And this was so poorly put together because it just goes to the mom sleeping there. And then that's when she sees the evil Bathsheba like float above her and then vomit in her mouth. And then you see she starts screaming, and then you see Maude Flanders run up the stairs after her. Whereas to me, it's like, as soon as you saw that, if you are a ghost hunter person, you should have been like, oh shit, I should go do something.
Yeah. Also, you're a lady that can see ghosts. Why didn't you see that ghost right there?
She's seen other ghosts. Like she saw the thing hanging there and was just like, oh, that sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Ghost Sheet. I guess we set up that they bring in the cop and their intern or whoever that other guy was. And the cop is like, oh, I you know, I don't believe in this stuff. And he's like, you know, he got spooked one time and they're like, oh, well, you know, it was a gust of wind.
Yeah.
And they're like giving him shit about that. And this is a big important thing because the next big scare is the cop sees a full body apparition.
Right. Well, they're
made.
Well, they're there because they're setting up cameras and stuff, which actually like this part of the thing, I guess, for as stupid as I think ghost hunting is, this is to say I don't believe in ghosts or anything like that. I just think ghost hunting is stupid.
Now, what do you think about ghosts vis-a-vis being afraid of them?
I'm afraid of everything. So, like, and I think everything's out to get me. So why wouldn't there be ghosts, too?
Interesting, because I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Oh. Because by the power of the double negative means I'm very afraid of ghosts.
Oh. See, I'm not that good at language.
Well, because I ain't. It's, you know, I am not, so I am not afraid of no ghosts. So that would mean I'm afraid of all ghosts. It's like a negative times a negative being a positive.
Not necessarily, because you could just be afraid of one ghost. You're like, I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
No, because
I'm afraid of one ghost.
No, because then I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Right, because you're afraid of one ghost.
There's no ghost I'm not afraid of. So that ghost I must be afraid of.
No, I ain't afraid of no ghost means that you are not afraid of zero ghosts. You are afraid of one ghost.
There's no ghost that I'm not afraid of. That being...
I think it's Ray Parker saying there's one ghost he's afraid of, and that's the ghost of his father, the original Ray Parker.
Huey Lewis.
Yes. Huey Lewis's law firm. So anyway,
Huey Lewis is a cop in this movie.
Right. So, yeah. So they're setting up cameras like that to this... I think it's a modern song trying to sound 70s. I didn't look it up. But,
I know exactly when you're talking about it. I didn't look it up either, but I thought the same thing.
I was like, this seems not as... But anyway, whatever. So, yeah, and I don't... Yeah, they brought the cop there. Yeah, and he sees, like, later... because they're all staying there as well. And, yeah, later he sees a full apparition of a maid who shows him her scars. Goes, look at what she made me do. Shows him her scars and then disappears. And he goes, wait a minute, and follows her.
Yeah.
Why would, I mean, it's a horror movie. People make dumb decisions, but why would you do that?
He's a cop and he was a skeptic a minute ago. So I guess he was thinking there's somebody in the house.
Yeah.
I mean, but here's the thing. Who the fuck was that maid?
They mentioned earlier when Maude Flanders figures out that other stuff has happened. The kid, the little girl is seeing in the
Rory.
Mirror, Rory, he was killed by his mom because the ghost got to her. And then someone, I thought the maid was on another part of the land, but there was someone that there was a maid. Yeah, there was a maid that killed herself, but whatever. It's the same.
So ghosts can just walk around.
Yeah. Well, it's her. It's the curse goes through all the land. So the ghost can freely walk around. A lot of real estate there.
Yeah, I didn't know the rules. I thought once subdivision happened, like once you went to like the county office and got your land divided, ghosts could no longer cross the.
No, it's a church state issue.
Oh, okay. You know what they need is put a salt circle around it. Because I've been watching Supernatural, and that is the solution to all demons.
Yeah.
Salt. Also the solution to untasty food.
That's true, yeah. Which is the bigger evil.
Ah, my left arm hurts. yeah, this is kind of this is where the movie sort of picks up speed.
Sure. One of the things they have is basically a black light. And he's like, look, see, if you put my hand down, you can see a handprint. And we'll use this to see if the ghost is around. And at one point, the daughter is sleepwalking up the stairs and the camera goes off. And he's like, well, it's not the daughter that's doing it. We have these sensors that if the temperature drops. So there's someone behind her. Let's let this happen and follow her up there. And she disappears behind the armoire. And he's pounding and pounding. Turns out, yeah, there's a hidden area back there. Maude Flanders goes back there and then like falls through. Finds out that's where Rory was hiding. The little ghost was hiding. They go back behind the armoire. That's where Rory has been hiding, and that's actually where his little music box that the little girl found originates from. And Maude Flanders is back there, figures that out, and then falls through the floor and gets, like, trapped in the walls.
Now, this was so, so stupid.
And actually goes all the way down to the basement. She decides to use the music box for some reason that's supposed to let you see ghosts in it. And sure enough, she sees the ghost of the mom that killed Rory. And this was, again, kind of an effective... I like the way this looked, but then they ruined it. Where you see her looking in the mirror of the music box and you see the she's a larger woman holding the baby, holding the dead body of Rory, and like slowly starts to turn her head as the like almost at the same speed the camera is pushing in. I just thought that was a very kind of cool effect.
No, that did look cool.
And you think something's going to happen. No, but it has to cut away from that into her looking in the mirror and closing it, and then booga booga the face right there.
Here's a question. Before she falls to the floor, she finds a noose.
Yes.
What's that about?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, just scary.
Isn't that spooky? Yeah, because the only other news is the woman hanging herself outside.
And that was the previous generation. That was
the thing that started it all.
Yeah, so that was before Rory.
Yep.
So why would there be a noose there?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some.
Just to go like, hey, isn't this, what could this be?
Yeah.
It's the monster, clearly.
It's just a kind of knot, really. It's just
it is a knot.
Wraps around itself. It's called a noose, but it's a very specific kind of knot. Hangman's knot. You're supposed to break the neck instead of actually strangle them. Yeah.
Oh.
If made poorly and you drop too far, you can have your head completely decapitated.
Right, and that's cruel and unusual punishment.
Unusual.
Well, it's unusual. It shouldn't happen. Your head normally is connected to your body. That's usual.
No, because if you're buried, you're actually going to spend more time with your head disconnected.
I'm happy you didn't start talking about Nearly Headless Nick. So I think this is a step.
I'm not even kidding. That's literally where I was just going with that.
That's where I figure.
All right.
Anyway, Maud Flanders is trying to escape the basement because the ghost is down there.
Death Day Party.
Ghost grabs the necklace. Her daughter, we should back up. Her daughter, there was a scene earlier when they're home. The daughter has got two lockets from the church sale. One for her mom to wear that has her picture in it, and one for their daughter to wear that has a picture of mom and dad in it. Ghost rips the locket off of Maud's neck. Maud gets upstairs. And then I guess the ghost uses that to transport itself to their home or something. Because it heavily implies that. Later, they're at home and the necklace in the basement starts like twirling. And then the one by the daughter's bed starts twirling. And that's when I guess Annabelle happens.
Okay, but also we skipped. Maud Flanders sees her daughter Judy floating in the water at the edge of a dock.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, holy shit, and like shivering her hand in the water and realizes that it's a vision. One, she's never doubted her visions before. She didn't go, oh, is that a real lady? And start waving her hand through one of the other ghosts. Runs frantically to the phone. Mom, shut up, Mom. You have to check on Judy. Shut up, Mom. I don't care. Because apparently her mom doesn't know she's a clairvoyant. And then she's like, oh, she's good? Oh, that's good. What? What did, because that did nothing. That established nothing. Because her daughter was in danger, sort of, but not near water. There was no drowning.
Did she get into my secret room of mystery?
Yeah. I would get it. Like, maybe she saw Annabelle's face in the water or
sure.
something that would, but it's just, again, sorry, maybe it's nitpicky.
No, but
it's just everything about this movie is like.
It doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, it's just really flabby storytelling. It doesn't, it's just so bloated.
John, I don't really. We're body positive on the show,
it comes to storytelling.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, yes. Stories are people.
Yeah. Which, by the way, at this point, after all that, they're like, they've gone to see the priest, a priest. And they're like, look at this evidence we have. Look at these photos. Look at all this stuff. And the priest is like, I don't know. This has got to go all the way to the Vatican. We don't have time. I'll fast track it myself.
Yeah.
They got it. The guy's got an in with the Pope. And it's like. I guess, you know, that's sure.
For this movie, I'm fine with it.
I don't. I just was irritated by them just going, yes, let's let the bureaucracy work.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of lowered the stakes a little bit where it's like even because the family is they've gotten the family out of the house. They're staying at a hotel, I guess. But even it's just like, really, and again, if this really happened. Great. I don't care. That doesn't make for a good movie.
Well, so there's a couple of things we need to examine here. One, they leave the house to go stay at a hotel. It was clearly expressed and stated that you can't move out because the demon will follow you.
It's stuck to you like gum.
So let's go to a hotel because why say that sentence in the same fucking movie? I get it if this is The Conjuring Part 2 and they forgot part of the mythology. It's earlier in the fucking movie they establish it. And I know so that's why the mom can be possessed in the hotel or whatever. But why go there? What's the...
Before they go see the priest, like after she has fallen through the floor and gets back up, or like there's the photos and whatever. There's also the daughter, as we mentioned, the daughter being pulled around by her hair. Like, and the guy is filming it. One of the leather coat assistant is filming it. They don't show that to the priest. They just go, look at these photos.
Yeah. And also, that would be life. Like, that would literally change the world if that video existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
though in that sequence, I did enjoy, it's stupid, but just fuck this, getting out a pair of scissors, just hacking the hair off.
Yeah. Simple.
I do like that. That's people not being a dumb fuck, not thinking on their feet, just grabbing some fucking scissors, boom.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, I think I liked it so much because it's exactly what this movie should have been. Just these smaller moments of like, oh, this is actually real people with like emotions and thoughts having things happen. Not just like, I am horror victim number one. I have a family. Hi, I'm male horror victim. I also have a family.
Yeah.
Oh, this is where that the sequence where Judy, the paranormal researcher, the daughter, wakes up and she's like alone in the house. The Annabelle sequence.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's where the locket where it gets in.
Yeah, and this is where that happens. Which I know it's been leading to it the whole time and it's bullshit. But I actually went, oh shit, Annabelle's in a room, and I literally got a jump scare of like, because I wasn't expecting. I knew Annabelle was there, but I wasn't expecting Annabelle to be, like, I was expecting one of the other monsters to be, like, I don't know, it just, like, her, that specific, I fucking hate dolls, I can't express.
Sure.
My mom had this little porcelain doll that she kept in her bed that she had, like, when she was a little girl.
Of you, and she loved it more than you.
Well, it's not of me, but she did love it more than me. But it was a little porcelain doll, but when you turned it, its eyes would open and close. And it was the most horrifying thing in the universe. Anytime I was in a room, I'd put a pillow over it, because it was terrifying and a fundamental. So like, I hate a doll. Like I fucking anything with a human face like that. It's like, oh cool, look, I've adopted an inanimate dead child into my room, but it doesn't smell, so it's okay. Like, oh fuck, sure. I hate a doll.
Like in a movie or a TV show or whatever, like I see a ventriloquist dummy, I'm like, yeah, whatever. In real life, no thank you.
Fuck you. Yeah.
No, I don't.
So
I don't
yeah,
like
Annabelle
that.
Being in a room, I'm like, oh shit, Annabelle's in there. Yeah. Like, yeah, that actually kind of got me a little bit.
At this point, I was annoyed because I was just like, why. Why is this in here? Why is this in this movie?
That's true.
Because I didn't the whole thing where I'm like, then it really made me think about that opening scene about like how like that was just to set up this. Why is this even in here? I hate this. I mean, I was already so angry at the movie.
And this is actually a scene that I enjoyed. It gets to is the what the hell's the mom's name?
Ava Perone.
Yeah, fine. Ava Perone. has stolen two of her children from the motel they're staying at. And the dad freaks out and calls the Warrens. And they're like, oh, they're going back to the house. She's got her or whatever. And I like this sequence of the family's broken up into two kind of chunks.
Uh-huh.
And now the mother, who's got a fucking demon in her, has two of her children. And it's established that the demon makes you kill your children.
Yes.
And I actually thought like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is a nice setup. And I did it. I like the way we kind of cut to inside we get inside the house eventually through, oh, the door's locked. Ah, let's punch things, whatever. Yeah. You know, fast cuts. The camera flips upside down, you know, Fresh Prince, everything happens.
Uh-huh.
But then they're in the basement and the mom's just got like a fucking knife to her daughter's throat. And it's like three grown men got this little waifish woman. They're just trying to peel her arm back to not stab her child. They're like, this is an awesome sequence. Like, I really like this, except it's in this movie, right. So I can't like it because all that other stuff happened first, which was dumb and stupid.
Which I was thinking about, like, how much fun that would be. If you wanted to be all method about it, it might be tough, but just, like, to be Lily Taylor and just, like, I get to just scream and thrash around.
Yeah, totally.
Like, just, this sounds, I would love to do that. I would love to go to a place and pay like $50 and I get an hour of people hold me while I just scream and thrash around.
Well, they have those scream rooms where it's like you can go in with a baseball bat and just break a bunch of shit.
Oh, is that real? I've only seen that in the show Delocated.
Yeah, no, it is a real thing. I've seen it in Japan. I've seen it on shows about Japan that they have these.
But no, I did like that bit. And that's to me, if the rest of the movie wasn't so hitting you on the head with the camera moves and all this other stuff, if it like really picked up to the pace that it takes now, it would have been a much better movie.
Yeah.
But because this whole sequence is actually really cool and very intense of them trying to deal with her, trying to like tie her to a chair. And he's like, oh, I got to do the exorcism. Even though, like I said, that decision is just there. Like, it doesn't matter. And, you know, he's a little bit worried because the last time there was an exorcism, the wife was around. She's like, I'm not leaving. But again, there's nothing there. That's just, they're just saying words to each other. There's no... You know, I'm not actually in danger, worried for her because she's just going to go to her room and be sad and
exactly.
be okay.
Because they didn't show what she saw in that guy's eyes. And also, mm-hmm. the big downside is, oh no, you're going to be bummed for 8 days. Like, yeah. I mean, I can do that. Like, I can do that for a month straight. We're good.
Yeah.
You know?
We've made a podcast out of it.
Yeah. It's,
but they specifically, he specifically was like, no, I did not ask. I don't care. Like, so.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But also, I know I'm reading this and it's probably not there, but earlier when he said he's never done an exorcism, I've only assisted. I don't think it's an actor's choice. I think I just read it that he was kind of like, there was a little bit of hold my beer there where it's like, Yeah, I totally want to try one, though. Yeah. Like, and I don't think it's in the movie. I think I'm reading that there because it's more an interesting character.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially when he decided to do it, like, there did... I'm not saying he was confident, but there... I don't know. Like, I think it's just me that it's just like, yeah, I want to give this a go.
Yeah, I think that's a natural thing. You're a demonologist. The Catholic Church recognizes your demonology.
Yeah.
And...
you have the book on you. You literally have the how-to
exorcism
book.
You know what you're doing. You know a little something about this stuff. Yeah. I think I could do this. It's kind of
exactly.
like,
yeah, I got
you know,
this.
Like a carpenter comes, you know, like you know something about, you took shop class and a workman comes to your house to like put on an addition to your house. And you're just like, you know, moving the, you know, touching the joists, making sure yeah. they're okay. Or, you know, kicking the tires on your car or whatever.
Oh, joists. Look at you. I didn't know I was hanging out with a handyman.
Yeah. I know who Norm Abrams is.
I do as well. That's this old house, right?
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Bob Vila.
Couple of men.
You know, Bob Vila, his last name means house.
See? Look at that. This old house.
Nominative determinism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's big. I think she bites the cop's face, or did she slice him? Somehow the cop...
I think she slices him, yeah, because yeah. he's hurt.
Yeah, the cop starts bleeding pretty bad, which I like, because, you know... I'm...
Because
all
cops are bastards.
I'm early 90s fucking West Coast rap.
Yep.
Oh yeah, so this is where he attempts the exorcism, and he's kind of shit at it, and he's not pronouncing Latin that well, and they put her face in like a sheet.
Yeah, they have her covered up with a sheet, which I liked, just only for the visual of the part where she like coughs up blood, and
yeah.
just the sheet just gets bloody.
And they've got the scene where these birds just kind of hit the house and die randomly. And I'm a firm advocate that any piece of art with birds dying for no reason is garbage and stupid, and no one should watch it at all.
What, you are a big fan of birds, or only...
Oh, no, it's just a major scene of the book I wrote.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, sorry. Self-centered.
No, I agree with you.
To Periphery.
For your earlier point.
But... Periphery, available on Amazon.com by Alex Boland. Check it out.
But because I forgot that whole plot point where, like, he sees it, like, a pigeon, like, ran on the side of his house, and then he's like, yo, birds just keep hitting our house. Do they? Because you've just seen the one, and that's happened in my life. I've seen a... bird fly into a window.
Well, his dog was actually killed by bird impact.
Oh, that's what
yeah,
it
his
was.
Dog was killed by bird
oh,
strike. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that's the poor Sadie.
Just a pigeon is through its head like the Steve Martin arrow.
Yeah. That'd be great. Oh, that would make this movie a million times better. I do like the part where the sheet kind of slips apart, which is boy, that's a tongue twister. And it's like her face is almost like where the monster from Dead Alive, like towards the end where it starts getting bigger, it's just like this weird, like her face is just distorted and
it's
awful.
Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and I enjoyed that. Again, it's hard to enjoy because it's at the end of this
right.
movie.
Right, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Because also my emotional investment in her is, oh yeah, that's that lady that like had some kids. That's what I know about her.
Yeah.
She's got working reproductive.
She seems very nice. And like to have babies apparently.
Yeah, like her husband, he knows how to drive a truck.
That's yeah.
That's his character.
And is working for half his rate.
Yeah, that's his motivation.
But yeah, and then like at some point, like she flips upside down in the chair, and that's crazy. I guess though at this point in the movie, we've seen so much other stuff, and the camera's been upside down. Whatever.
Also,
but it doesn't
the camera
really matter.
Flips upside down to go to that scene where it's just, well, that's a way to underplay it. You know.
Yeah. And so eventually, guess what? The exorcism works. Like she like gets out. There's
no, but the exorcism doesn't work.
Right, right.
The exorcism like does, and then it's just like, hey, hey, Office Space, can you like make your wife love you again? He's like, yeah, sure. Hey, honey, remember all that cool stuff? And the wife is like, hey, remember that time on the beach from that picture from earlier?
Yeah, but then like she's the Maude is reaching down from the kitchen floor and it's like touching her head, and and Ned is like, the demon be gone, and that.
No, but he gave up on the actual like exorcism.
Yeah, but he's still trying it.
Yeah,
he's
but
still,
he like,
he's still freeballing.
He stops saying it in Latin. Is basically
he's,
like
well,
a,
he's, it's jazz.
So basically,
it's the jazz of exorcism.
So
he's just taking it in weird new directions.
So basically, what this is, this
shapes.
This whole movie is really just a way to say, "Hey, Catholic Church, evolve," because this shit is more effective the way I can do it.
Well, apparently, yeah.
Vatican III up in this pitch.
Yeah, Ed Warren for Pope. Oh wait, he's dead.
So yeah, it turns out that a day at the beach is more powerful than Satan.
Yeah.
And she's free.
Which I love that picture of them at the beach, which was just them in front of a blue sky.
It
looked so fakey.
It's so bad.
It was, it was really.
And not even like it looked like they took a picture in front of like a Windows 98 preset background.
So this is when we visited Quicken.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, and then it's basically wrap up. It's happy times.
Well, so this irritated me so much. and again, just how much I dislike Ned Maud Flanders, is they're leaving, like, this crazy thing has just happened. And, like, the family's kind of being carted away, and this is already kind of irritating, where the cop is holding his neck, and the stupid assistant is like, a little bit more than a breeze, huh? Shut up. Why are you in this movie? Go away. But husband and wife, they've just been through this horrible thing together, and he's like, you did good. So did you.
Oh, yeah.
That's really?
Yeah.
You passionless slobs. I hate you.
Also, here's another thing I hate about this. It's over. No? You made a point of establishing there's a shitload of ghosts here.
Yeah.
You made the point of establishing. Why do they keep establishing things and then just go, nah.
Because it sounds scary.
There's multiple ghosts. They said it earlier. Why is it? Nah, it's
I guess,
fine,
well, maybe it's like vampires. They got the main ghost, so the other ghosts are free.
Oh. So it's like that guy that went to dinner with them. It wasn't actually Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes.
Yeah. I wish I could remember his name. That would have been a much better reference.
Yeah. Edward Herbin. That's great. He's in Overboard. Tofuri. Yeah.
Is Overboard the one where enslaves Goldie Hawn? Yeah, that's upsetting. So everything's happy. And they show a scene in their Wunderkammer of evil things.
Yeah.
And Annabelle's there, I think. Is that what happens?
Yeah, well, she's there, but I believe it's the music box. He adds it to his room.
Yeah, the
evil
music box is playing, and then as the song ends, just a stinger.
Well, no, well, because it's he's putting it there, and then she leans in like Janine from the Ghostbusters. We got one! And it's like, there's a haunting on Long Island.
That's right.
In a Ville of Amity that we need to go to. And he goes, okay, and leaves. And then the thing starts playing, and you think something's going to happen, and it goes to black, and then the credits.
Amity. It means friendship.
Yeah.
They're going to the town where Jaws took
That's
place.
Right.
Yeah.
Which the end credit sequence actually kind of like, just stylistically, where it's like these like news clippings and stuff like that of
they show the
Warrens and whatever. And like that's, and you see like, here's the Warren. Here's the guy playing him. If you had actually done that at the beginning, I think I might have been a little bit more on board.
Yeah.
As far as rather than just giving me this typewriter font, let me explain stuff to you. If you had like really sent like with these newspaper clippings, made that seem like really that, I think that would have helped place it a little bit more rather than you just explaining it to me.
Also,
but that's what this movie does.
No, but we could have fast forwarded again. That we could have gotten to the Warrens and the Perrons meeting in the first 30
instead of Annabelle.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've made it clear through this whole movie, unequivocally,
it sucks.
This stupid.
And I've watched, like, and when I say I've watched a lot of horror movies, I've watched a lot of, like, bad horror movies that I've still enjoyed. Sleepaway Camp is terrible, but I loved it. It was great.
No, Sleepaway Camp is not terrible. Sleepaway Camp is amazing.
Right. But, like, there's these different levels of stuff, but just this thing falls on its face so bad for what it's trying to do.
What would happen if, at the end of this movie, Annabelle lifts her skirt up and she's got a dick?
It's a boy! And he's just making the open mouth face.
Sorry, spoilers for Sleepaway Camp. But also, when I say spoilers for Sleepaway Camp, I'm just saying that for the 90% of the audience that was like, why the fuck did Alex just say Annabelle has a dick? It's a very direct reference to the movie Sleepaway Camp.
But it's I think some of it is also for some, particularly those older movies where, this was made for no money. This was, someone's like just swing at trying to make a movie where this is an established filmmaker that studios keep giving money to. And this thing made bank. I mean, there's a whole ad Conjuring verse of films.
I don't get
it. Irritates me. It irritates me more than Marvel movies. Because Marvel movies, I get it. This is just, there's so many better horror movie makers out there that you could be giving your money to than the guy who did the Saw franchise.
Yeah.
Or at least, yeah. Or the guy who did the Saw franchise, you've made your movies, let someone else do it. Give them money.
Yeah, so, don't watch this.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Don't. If you want to see a movie where someone wants to kill their kids, check out Mom and Dad. It's a horror movie done by the guys that made Crank. So that'll.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that'll
tell you. Oh, that sounds
fun. It's not great, but it's better than this.
Yeah. Well, Crank is not Nicolas great, Cage but also very amusing. So. Yeah. Well, we can't watch it because we need to take a Nicholas Brick hiatus. All right. You know, John, I keep thinking about our massive fan base and what we can do with it. And I'm worried about trying anything because, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. You know who said that?
Hitler?
Yeah, but after him.
Hitler Jr.?
Yes. Hitler Jr., a.k.a. Uncle Ben Parker.
Oh.
And here's the good thing about it.
Oh, my God. No.
Yes.
Spider-Man is evil.
No, his uncle was.
Okay.
What do you think? Where do you think that radioactive spider came from? Nazi experiments.
The good lessons from white supremacy.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, you know, sometimes you can learn from my struggle. That's right.
Yep.
We are watching Spider-Man Homecoming.
Homecoming.
That is the first with Tom Holland, the newest Spider-Man, the one that's in the current Marvel universe.
Yeah, launching ourselves headlong out of the horror month into something a little bit more lighthearted. And our first foray into the Marvel films. We've done a bunch of DC stuff.
As referenced earlier, John loving the Marvel movies so very much. I think this will be an exciting watch, and it won't be DC. So
yeah,
I'm excited to do it.
And it won't be dreary. I can.
No, it will not. And there's a couple spots in the film I've seen that you haven't, but there's a couple spots in the film that I'm like, ooh, I want to know your opinion on that.
Well, I liked this kid a lot, and so he was one of the few things I actually liked about Civil War. So
yeah,
I'm curious if I can tolerate a whole movie of him though. We'll see. But I liked him in Infinity Gauntlet too, or Infinity War. So we'll see in a non-war titled movie if I like him.
Yeah, I think you will. And by that, I mean probably not. But, you know, fuck it. It's something to talk about.
Sure. Cool.
So next episode, Spider-Man Homecoming. Enjoy. Bye.